are again.
We are back.
Is it just me or am I damn tired today?
Because Comic Palooza just ended.
That's probably why.
That's why.
We have to do that recap. I'd still have to compile my notes. Let's crack open a cold one.
Yep.
You might want to crack open one. We've got a couple of things to talk about. A couple of folks we might want to toast to here. But, yeah, man, I'm kind of beat, man. It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yes, it has. You've been busy.
Yeah. So,
good busy and bad busy.
I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah. I mean, nothing bad in particular. It's just...
Worse has been a bitch, man.
It's, well... Somehow or another, we had a nice, mild winter, you know, actually kind of cold, but Houston went ahead and broke up with that bitch quick. I mean, it's already like 95 degrees outside, and this weather, this heat just takes it out of me, man. Like, I'm like, my jeans are Scottish Scandinavian. Like, I'm built for cold climes. Like, my people wear skirts in the frozen tundra. You know, this whole, like, 100 degrees in the shade thing is for the birds.
It's been hot. Like, I usually turn the AC off in here whenever I leave. I can't do that right now. Oh, because by the time I get back, it takes forever for it to cool down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, work hasn't been... What's been bad is... This is funny. I was thinking about this today. I remember back when, like, bill collectors would call me and I'd be like, hey, I've mailed the check already. I'm dealing with that, but I'm on the other side of it now. Trying to collect accounts payable... Need this money, you know. All you right. Got these three invoices that are past, you know, at 60 days right now, but we mailed a check last week. Like, you're in Texas. Yeah. You mailed it Thursday. I should have got it by now. So yeah, that's just been stressful.
Yeah,
and with Crohn's, stress isn't, you know, the best thing for them, but
yeah, that's not good. Well, just tell them you'll send the door repo man. It's like, you can't lock the door. I'm just going to take it off the hinges and take it home. So it's somebody else. Like, some dude in a van. Hey, y'all need a door? Topal plane hurricane glass, 12 grand. I'll cut you a deal and give it to you $11.50.
Like one of those guys selling steak out the back of a truck in the Walmart parking lot. Got these Venezuelan steaks.
The steaks or the speakers. It was always the speakers. The
surround sound.
Hey, you got speakers at home? Yes, I do. Oh, they're not this good, but so what? I've got them. Like, I don't want to buy them out of a van, dude. I bet now because of the small speaker revolution, it's like nobody uses those big tower speakers anymore.
Except people that, like, really love fine audio. They still pick up the higher end stuff like that.
Not out of a van.
Not out of a van, though.
Yeah. Back in the day when that was just what was there, right. People would buy them out of a van. You guys were going to say you could fit a whole lot more Bose in your van than you could the big old towers. You
got, like, I remember I once had one of those 7-speaker surround sounds with the shit in the corners behind you, and it was the stupidest stuff. And then I got a sound bar. It sounded just as good.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's just technology. Just there's certain technologies that. Yeah, I have that feeling because we got an HD TV and I've got a, you know, it's like, okay, I need to get a sound bar, and I'm like, I don't really care. Like, I can't turn up the TV that loud anyway because when I'm watching a movie that I want to watch, the kids are asleep.
Right.
So it can't be that loud. All right, guys, let's take a sip of some coffee and stretch a little bit, and let's get into episode 85. We're gonna do this one. It's called Defining Horror, and I will explain the reason here shortly. But it is May 28th. It's a Monday. And I'm off
it's
today.
It's Memorial Day.
It is. I'm off today. So now I'm speaking to you from the future. So we'll see how much stuff is on my calendar for this off day. But I'm off today. Recovering from Comic Palooza. All right. So let's get straight into the old business. Well, first, actually, before we get into old business, we've made some new friends out there in the world. So I want to give a couple shout outs. Scott turned me on to this new podcast, or I don't know if it's really new, but it's freaking cool. Hilarious.
It reminds me so much of me and my daughter Olivia.
It's
when she was young. It's just the coolest shit.
It's a big shout out to Katie from the Crypt.
Yes.
What is Katie from the Crypt? For their own tagline, a very irresponsible dad and a 9-year-old girl watch horror movies together and they discuss them.
It's awesome.
And you've got this little bitty girl with her little high-pitched voice just sounding all cute. She should be talking about, like, My Little Ponies, and she's talking about, like, well, it was really cool when so-and-so killed this guy and ripped off his arm. You know, they did an episode on It, and she's like, so he bit off his arm, and then he's, like, crawling away, but, like, that's pointless because he's going to bleed to death anyway. And then Pennywise's arm just gets really long and drags him back in. And she's 9. It's just like, whoa, that movie was pretty, I mean, it's not unrecoverable, but for me it felt like a horror
roller coaster. It's not Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it's rough.
It felt like a horror roller coaster because it never really kind of dropped you off. It was just boom, 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 scare, 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 scare. And I can't even imagine my kid watching that thing. She wouldn't sleep for a month. much less want to talk about it on the show. So, but anyway, if you haven't, go to Twitter.
And Katie, if you're listening, listen to your dad. You've got to watch The Lost Boys. He knows what's best. Trust me. You want to do a Lost Boys episode.
So, shout out to Katie from the Crypt. Check them out. They're awesome. Another friend of the show we just picked up was Dead Man's Tome. From the date of recording this to the date it actually airs, I will have listened to quite a bit more shows. I've listened to a show and a half of his so far because he contacted me and wants to be a vendor at Scary Dead's Haunted Halloween show and to promote his show. But he is local to Houston, and he does a weekly live podcast where he brings in guests and talks about pretty much the same thing as we do.
He drops up extra episodes every once in a while, just like we do with metas and stuff like that. So,
he talks about all things scary. He has guests on and does interviews. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, it's all pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, hope to maybe do something with him pretty soon. But go. He's also, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, all of it. Just go to Dead Man's Tome, Tome, and check him out. Also, some friends of the show, our friend Jay Mazur, just released a book called Chrome.
She had a
book
release party the other night. Yep.
She had a release party the other night, and I didn't get to make it to that release party, but I did get to read the book. So, and it was really, really good, and I was a beta reader for it, so it's actually been edited slightly since, but I guess, I don't know, it's on a Kindle, so I don't know, maybe it's like about a 300-page book, and I only had about 4 notes of things that she could do to improve it, and they were very cosmetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is, that's a pretty serious feat to have that cohesive of a story going into beta. So she said that she took everybody's advice and she made a couple of cosmetic changes, and then the book released just recently. But you can find Jay Mazur, that's Jaemazer, on Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know if she's on Twitter, I know she's on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook primarily, and buy her book, check it out. It's really good. Now, let's get into old business. This isn't really scary, but it is kind of funny, kind of interesting. On this date in 585 BC, a solar eclipse that was predicted by the Greek scientist Thales, while Alcides is battling Xerxes in the Battle of Hales. I mean, they were really good at naming stuff back then. The eclipse led to a truce. So this guy said, hey, there's going to be an eclipse on this day, and they're like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. And then it happened and it stopped a war. But it's also one of the cardinal dates from which other dates can be calculated, so they know that this eclipse happened, these events happened on this date, so then they can go from there whenever they say, oh, well, this happened in relation to they can calculate dates. So that's pretty neat. On this date in 1937, Volkswagen is founded. All right, 1977. The Beverly Hills Supper Club in Kentucky catches fire and kills 165 people.
That's pretty massive.
That's as late as 77.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the column for hugest balls ever, on this date in 1987, West German pilot Matthias Rust, he was 18 years old at the time, evades Soviet air defenses and lands a private plane in Red Square in Moscow. He's immediately detained, but finally released in August of 1988. So you got this kid.
I remember that.
What are you thinking? Like, there's no way that this is going to end well.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like landing a plane on the lawn of the White House.
Well, true, but still, like, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
And the Soviets are not nice.
Right.
And you just completely defeated their entire Civil Air Command with a private plane. I wonder if he popped out with middle fingers blazing, just like, ah. All right, notable births. I don't know who this guy is. I didn't even click on the link. But his name was John the Fearless. So,
cool name.
That's a pretty cool name, so he deserves a shout out. 1908, Ian Fleming, creator of James Bond. Only because he's in the news, and well, as of recently, I don't know, he might have been fired by now. But 1944, Rudy Giuliani.
America's mayor.
Who just threw, Trump hired him like, hey, help me out of this mess. And he just totally threw him under the bus, like almost immediately, like within 24 hours. He's like, hey, guess what? Then he backtracked it all, but it's pretty funny. And we know, you know, we're not political, but that is just funny as hell. It's like that scene in Batman where the Joker's like, hey, Bob, give me your gun. And he hands him the gun and he shoots him.
Yeah.
All right, 1944. Singer Gladys Knight, and in 1945, John Fogerty. So you being from Louisiana, how do you like it that some dude from L.A. invented swamp rock?
I think it was around, just it wasn't mainstream yet. He kind of brought it to the forefront.
John Fogerty, I don't know if he's the only, but he was the first entertainer to ever be sued for sounding like himself. No lie. He quit Creedence Clearwater Revival and went on a solo tour, but his label held the rights to all of his music. So when he started writing songs for his new band, for his solo thing, he got sued by the label because he sounded too much like Creedence. He's like, but it's my voice. It's me.
Right.
But all right, notable deaths on this date in 1971. Congressional Medal of Honor war hero Audie Murphy passed away on this date in 1998. Comedian Phil Hartman.
I like Phil Hartman.
I loved Phil Hartman. That was the most messed up thing.
Yeah, I know.
So sucks so bad. You should remember, I mean, Phil Hartman had so many great roles.
Yeah.
But do you remember just that look on his face when he was in the commercial for Colon Blow? He just like the big old smile. He was like, you'd have to eat 4,000 bowls of your cereal to equal the colon cleansing power of one bowl of Colon Blow. And on this date in 2010, Mr. Gary Coleman. What you talking about, Willis?
I heard like a horrible Gary Coleman joke the other day. I don't know if I should say it.
Say it.
There was a meme. Well, I guess at that time it would have been, it wasn't known as a meme, but when he died, there was a picture floating around somebody had made saying, you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but his wife was like a total bitch.
Uh-huh.
And it was a thing. It was a picture of a Coleman cooler saying that his wife really skimped on the coffin.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that on Hell Ming because it floated around recently. Yeah. Once again, big shout out to Hail Ming. That was the most fun podcast experience. Just chilling with those guys.
Awesome. Yeah,
that was hella fun. So
he has me wanting to see Fright Night on the big screen now.
Definitely, man.
Rewatched the Rear Window too because I haven't watched that in a while.
You really sold that. I never realized that was a Rear Window analog.
Yeah,
that's badass. So that is it for old business. Let's take a break here from one of our sponsors, and we will come back with the new business.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rick Morgan, and I want to share with you a scientific breakthrough that can change your life. Many people struggle through life with personal imperfections, shameful actions, and bad habits. So I'm here to tell you that there is a cure. All you have to do is subscribe to the House of Wax Classic Horror Podcast. I've been subscribed for only 2 months, and my results have been amazing. But don't take my word for it. Listen to these subscribers' success stories.
I used to have Pampered Chef parties at my house and murder everyone that would show up. But after listening to the House of Wax, I don't even cook anymore.
I used to have bad teeth. But since subscribing to House of Wax, I show my pearly whites wherever I go.
I suffer with the need of bestiality. But since House of Wax, I don't suffer anymore.
Huh?
Oh, no, I still love the animals. I just don't feel as guilty with House of Wax playing in the background.
So if you need a new horror show, then listen to the House of Wax podcast. It might just save your life. House of Wax is a proud member of Legion Podcast, and you can actually see this show on the new YouTube channel. Just look up House of Wax.
All right, we are back.
Some new business.
Let's do some new business.
It's going to start off old, but you remember a chick named Anne Frank?
Do I remember?
She wrote a book.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. You know who I speak of?
Is that the one where Justin Bieber like wrote into her
that was her
little memory book that she was a cool chick and she would have been a believer if she'd lived?
Like, yeah, the same.
Jesus.
Okay, so Anne Frank's in the news right now. Apparently in her famous diary, there were a couple of pages that had been covered over brown masking paper. Well, some Dutch researchers have been able to decipher what's underneath the masking paper to see exactly what's written there. Okay, what they've discovered, there's no bullshit. This isn't a joke. This is an actual legitimate news story from a legitimate source. She had pasted over these pages that contained 4 dirty jokes, some talk about sex, contraception, and prostitution.
She was 14.
She was 13 when she 13. Wrote this shit. She wrote these 2 pages September 28th.
Do you have the jokes?
I got a couple of them. Show these pages September of 1942. Now, the director of the Netherlands Institute of War, Holocaust, and Genocide Studies mentions, the dirty jokes are classics among growing children. Now, when I tell the dirty jokes, you let me know from when you were 13, you were running around. Well, 13 possibly, but this is 1942. You'd think it would have been a little passé not to talk about this kind of stuff, but they make it clear that Anne, with all her gifts, was above all also an ordinary girl. Okay, so she wrote these in 1942. She wrote candidly in other parts of her diary about her sexuality, her anatomy, her impending period, becoming a woman. But for some reason, she didn't want this part to be seen by anybody. In a passage about sex, she described how a young woman gets her period at age 14, saying it is a sign that she is ripe to have relations with a man. But one doesn't do that, of course, before one is married. On prostitution, she wrote, all men, if they are normal, go with women. Women, so only normal men go, I guess, you know, homosexuality wasn't very much accepted back then. Go with women. Women like that accost them on the street, and then they go together. In Paris, they have big houses for that. Papa has been there.
Wow.
One of her jokes is,
She completely sold her dad down the river.
Yeah, he's been in the hooker houses up in Paris. Do you know why the German Wachmat girls are in Holland? to act as mattresses for the soldiers. Okay, here's another one of her jokes. Man had a very ugly wife and he didn't want to have relations with her. One evening he came home and then he saw his friend in bed with his wife. Then the man said, he gets to and I have to. It's a couple of the dirty jokes from Anne Frank's diary.
They're not really that bad.
No, they're not. The matches one is pretty good. But yeah, so that is interesting, man. It's pretty neat that they discovered she's just a normal girl.
The fact is, and I remember because we were reading Anne Frank's diary, I think when I was 13, 14 years old in either junior high or high school, and that was the thing that was so striking was that she was a very well-spoken, very well-written person. You know, she was able to express, you know, her love and hate and fear and boredom. And
they also, you know, as the book goes along, as she's been writing longer, her style gets better and better.
Right. Well, she didn't have anything to do but write. So is her escape. I mean, and yeah, I mean, it's weird to me because yeah, she was just a normal girl. She wasn't a saint. She wasn't, you know, some elite tapped so-and-so to fill out some sort of celebrity status. She was a girl in hiding in an attic. So of course, you know, you're gonna have tension, and you know, you're also 13, you're pushing through puberty, and you know, all of these things that she should have been doing at school, and the kids laugh and tell dirty jokes and you know, make eyes at each other and stuff. She's absolutely human. So for that, whether she taped it over or whether somebody else taped it over, like, you know, ooh, this is inappropriate for a girl to be talking about or something, but I mean, let her legacy be that she was a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
okay. Next year is the 10th anniversary of the movie Zombieland. To celebrate the 10th anniversary, 2019 will be the year they release Zombieland 2, starring the original cast of characters. So they're going to be coming out. This is pretty cool. There'll be a Zombieland 2 coming out next year. It's been 10 years since the last one, but they're bringing back Woody Harrelson and everybody else forward, so it ought to be pretty kick-ass. But they're looking at October 2019 for that to come out.
The last time they tried to do that, Twitter shut them down. Like, everybody bitched at them so much that they just canceled the whole attempt.
Well, it's looking like it's going to go through now. In other movie news, Puppet Master The Littlest Reich is actually going to be released in theaters in August of this year.
Nice.
In unrated form. They're not going to edit anything out. They're going to leave it in this virgin form and let people enjoy it and see what they think of it. So the directors and writer are pretty damn confident that people will definitely enjoy it and come out to see it. It's going to be pretty awesome.
So this episode drops on the 28th of May, but we're back in time because that's when we record. Did you hear today? So what is today? The 14th?
Yes.
There's a movie starring Matt Dillon and Uma Thurman that premiered at Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, people walked out of it because it was
called,
too rough.
Yeah, it was called The House That Jack Built.
Yep.
Apparently it was just horrible. It was
so rough, people walked out on it.
Yeah.
Not that it was a bad movie. It was just a rough movie.
I heard it was pretty bad.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was just like, it was just all gratuitous. That there was no redeeming quality. It was just torture porn. And that kind of stuff. But yeah, for like some people were tweeting the picture of the theater that had emptied out. Like,
really?
It was, yeah, it's like unprecedented.
Wow. Okay, did we recently talk about a woman that had a thing for cars?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dateline Kansas.
Oh.
An intoxicated Kansas man faces criminal charges after he was found this week attempting to have sex with the tailpipe of a parked automobile.
Jeez.
Police in Newton, which is 25 miles north of Wichita, responded Tuesday night to a 911 call about a naked man beneath an automobile. When they got there, they found the 24-year-old suspect trying to place his penis in the tailpipe of the vehicle. Hopefully it had been parked for a while and it was nice and cooled down.
Yeah, right?
The naked man was oblivious when contacted by the cops. He just lay there and continued to try to have sex with the car as the police were trying to get him to stop. They eventually had to tase him and take him into custody to get him to Blood alcohol content was measured at 0.35. It's four times the legal limit of that area of Kansas.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude. Okay, and final story. Bitches be crazy. Always bring that up. Sky goes on a Tinder date. All right. They have a good time. Tells her that he likes her. Before they ever had a second date, she started stalking him. She sent him over 65,000 text messages while she was trying to get him to write back. A lot of the messages were threatening. Some of the messages he received, don't ever... Now, they went on one date, okay? One date. I don't know if he had sex with her or not, but
she, one day.
Yeah. Don't ever try to leave me. I'll kill you. I don't want to be a murderer.
Oh, damn.
I hope you die, you rotten, filthy Jew. I'm like the new Hitler. The man was a genius. I'd wear your... F-A-S-C-I-A. How do you pronounce that? Fascia. I'd wear your fascia and the top of your skull and your hands and your feet. Oh, what I would do with your blood. I want to bathe in it. Now, the thing is, why did it take 65,000 text messages before this guy called the cops?
What? Like, why didn't you just block her?
The woman entered his residence while he wasn't at home. Cops got called. They showed up. She had a large butcher knife on the passenger seat of her car while she was in there. She also reportedly showed up at the guy's workplace claiming to be his wife. She was booked in jail on threatening, stalking, harassment, and failure to appear charges.
Wow.
That is crazy, dude. One date.
One date.
65,000. Think about it. 65,000 text messages.
That's insane.
Okay, that's it for new business. We'll shut it down there.
Wow, dude. That's disturbing.
It's like a horror movie, dude.
Those is, yeah. It's like The Crush or something. Oh, man. Yep. Crazy. All right, we'll be right back.
Glorious day.
And a complete breakfast with
Blueberry.
Huh? Into the waves, Boo.
Bye bye. Frankenberry has strawberry flavored sweeties.
Count Chocula has chocolate sweeties.
And Blueberry with berry flavored sweeties.
And here are the mini monsters. Five monsters in all. You can trade them with friends and put on a show. One mini monster in specially marked boxes of the monster cereals.
Halloween's a perfect time for baking
spooky cookies. Just roll out Pillsbury sugar cookies, cut, bake and decorate, and feed them to your goblins. So much fun there.
Scary.
You know, I realized we missed something in the new business.
Yep.
So
just forgot to turn the page.
Yeah.
For the end.
We'll go ahead and give a toast to the loss of Margot Kidder, which our Lois Lane.
The Lois Lane.
Will always be.
Yeah, it was so, you know, she was a fighter, you know, she had problems and she overcame them and then became an advocate for others who had, you know, the same problems, mm-hmm. you know, with mental illness and stuff. And, you know, she battled her demons, but she battled them well.
Right.
And seemed to have overcome. I mean, a lot of, like we've talked about in some of our celebrity death episodes, you know, a lot of people pass away and, you know, you think, okay, well, you know, 69 is pretty young, but she lived a pretty rough life for a while there. So, you know, but she didn't go out in a drug overdose or, you know, any kind of thing like that. She persevered. So here's to our Lois Lane.
Yep.
Maybe now when, as bad as it sounds, now and this time when Superman lets her go, she won't fall. You remember that in Superman?
Yeah,
they're flying. And
my favorite was in which one was it, when they went to Niagara Falls? Superman 2, and Clark refused to let her know that he was Superman, and she was doing everything she could trying to get him to Superman out. Uh-huh. She jumped in the water and shit, almost drowned and everything. And that was funny as hell, man.
He's like, hey, Well, the title of this show is Defining Horror. And the reason that feel compelled to have this discussion is I was actually recently the participant of two different conversations.
I think it's because we do a horror podcast. I get the question all the time too. What do you consider horror?
Well, and
it's not an easy question to answer.
It isn't. You know, it's kind of one of those things of like defining porn. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. You know, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. But one of the conversations, my buddy Terrence, we were at a friend's barbecue, and another friend, and we were talking about the movie A Quiet Place, and how ultimately A Quiet Place, even though it's billed as a horror movie, it's more of a suspense slash thriller. But you get into these semantics sometimes of who are you gonna, what kind of band are you gonna actually describe as heavy metal?
Right.
And just as a quick example, you know, you've got bands like Iron Maiden who have been heavy metal from day one and still are, and they never soften their tone, and they are what they are and have always been that. And then you've got a band like Def Leppard who was actually coming up at the same time as Iron Maiden, and they started off pretty heavy metal, but then they changed to fit the crowd, and they
became a stadium rock band.
They became a stadium rock band, and I don't think there's very few people that I would actually define Def Leppard as a heavy metal band for at least 30 years, maybe more.
Would you consider them rock legends? And just like with horror, you have rock, but then you have subgenres that branch off.
Absolutely. Well, and the discussion over Def Leppard, not to get too far off track, but the discussion over Def Leppard was a while back. Somebody pointed at me and said, it was on a Facebook discussion, that Def Leppard is an underrated in this new wave of British heavy metal movement. And my reply was, how could you possibly call Def Leppard underrated? You could call them, you could love them or you can hate them, but they're probably one of the most successful
rock bands in history.
Of all the people who have ever picked up instruments, those guys are some of the most successful that have ever lived and probably ever will. So,
and then they have such a wide fan base.
So to call them underrated is kind of... But getting back to the original discussion, in the new wave of British heavy metal, that kind of group that they came up with peers like Iron Maiden and Venom and, you know, those guys, that late 70s virtuoso, hard-driving heavy metal genre that they departed from, they're not considered that anymore.
Right.
So they're
state fair bands now.
In that group, in that way of thinking, then yeah, they would be an underrated entry into that group. Well, anyway, Terrence mentioned that, yeah, because A Quiet Place, it shouldn't be considered horror because there's no supernatural element. And then he mentioned that, like, Alien, that's not a horror movie, that's a sci-fi movie. To which I interjected, like, no. Alien is billed as horror. It's always been horror, like from the original screenplay to the execution of the movie. It's a monster movie, much in the same way as, you know, Them or, you know, the creature features of the 50s were. But there's nothing really scientific described, like. The movie Alien assumes that there is some kind of future civilization where there's space travel, but they don't delve into it.
Right.
And all that is a vehicle to get us to this thing that rips people apart.
Yeah.
And it's pure horror from start to finish. And it never ends. So it's, you know, you can define it as a subgenre of horror. But I think
it still falls in there.
I think the umbrella. Overarching umbrella, yep. Primary Alien would be a horror movie. Well, he disagreed, and then we changed the subject, and we moved on. Well, then a couple of days ago, my wife and I were talking, and she's read several of the stories I write. And if you ask me what I write, I primarily write horror stories. I write short stories that are generally somewhere between 10 and 30 pages long, and they are generally centered around something horrific, whether it's a demon, some kind of monster, some kind of a ghost, a haunted house. Those are my central themes. And she pointed at her, she's like, well, yes, that's true, but you don't, like, when I think horror, this is her speaking, when I think horror, I think of, like, Jason and Freddy and gore, and you don't do that. I said, well, but it's not mandatory that I cover it in gore, like, it's a decoration, but
right.
But the melancholy, the suspense, the kind of, you know, the scariness is there. So I believe that horror is something that scares you, and it's easy to define, but apparently not so. So we're going to run through a list of movies, and you and I are just going to discuss where you think. We're gonna point out what the internet says that they are. And then we're going to discuss, you know, what it really should be, or based on other definitions, what movies could be called that.
And just as a caveat to that, I once saw on a list of zombie movies, Weekend at Bernie's 2. Mm. So just as a caveat to what the internet defines as certain things, is it? I wouldn't describe Weekend at Bernie's 2 as a horror movie at all.
No.
But it's listed as a zombie movie under certain lists on the internets.
Okay, so we can go through some of the usual suspects and just knock them off the list. I mean, but for candor, we can go back and discuss some of their sequels and figure out whether. So, you know, like I said, my wife mentioned Jason, Freddy, whatever.
You're slashers.
So your slasher movie. So Halloween. Okay. Straight horror. There's not really in. I mean, you could put it in. It is suspenseful and it is thrilling, and I guess you could technically classify Michael Myers as a monster, but it's a straight horror movie.
Yeah.
When you go to the video store,
it's in the horror section.
It's going to be in the horror section. You know, same with Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Scream, Nightmare on Elm Street,
Child's Play.
You know, Child's Play. But does a movie have to actually be scary in order to be in that same section of the theater? So, like, I would say that the first, I don't know, let's be generous. Let's say the first five Friday the 13ths attempted to be scary. And they didn't have a whole lot of comedy. There wasn't anything really self-referencing or jokey about it. Whether they pulled it off or not is irrelevant. The fact that they were trying to be scary and they are serious movies, the first five sequels, or the first four sequels in the original, are horror movies. But whenever you start getting into Zombie Jason and some of the campy acting,
the goofy paintball scene,
you know, the people making out next to dead bodies, and later, you know, just different, you know, Jason X, the Jason in space.
Jason in Manhattan beating the radio and passing the people up, but yeah, yeah.
These are not scary, but they're sequels to a horror franchise, so they're still put over there, but they're more comedies. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, yeah, there's some prosthetic blood, you know, some fake blood and some prosthetic.
There's some kills and everything, and but it's nothing that there's no jumps or anything. It's expected.
Right, you're going there to see a campy slasher.
Yeah,
and you're not going to leave scared. I mean, most people won't leave scared. But then you have other ones that are a little harder to find. So, for example, you know, we've got this whole list of what the internet calls suspense, and one of the first ones you mentioned was The Thing. I'm sorry, but that is straight up horror to me.
Yeah,
there's yeah, sure, it's suspenseful. But it's suspenseful because there's a shape-shifting monster killing everybody.
There's a creature there killing people.
You know, it's right up there with Alien. You know, just...
They do a good job using the element of suspense with not knowing who's been taken over by the creature.
Right.
But the fact that there's a creature there killing people is the gist of the movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's another one. Psycho. there's one kill. It's kind of a cliche now, but at the time it was shocking because it happened right in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
So you still have half a movie left to go after the one and only kill in the whole thing.
Right.
And it's a suspense. But it's also listed as probably one of the all-time greatest horror movies ever made. So where do you balance that? Where would you put that one in the video store? Psycho.
Horror. It's one of the classic horror movie.
Okay, let's stay on Alfred Hitchcock. What about Rear Window? Would that go in horror or would that go in drama?
Alfred Hitchcock is considered a master of horror.
He is. I kind of got you on that one. That's a little tough because it's under suspense and it's right next to Psycho. Same maker, right? I don't know that I would necessarily put Rear Window under, because.
But at the same time, in Rear Window, the death and the kills are assumed. You know, you don't actually have somebody straight. You see somebody get stabbed and killed.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit different than Psycho. It's all underlying.
True. I mean, it's still scary.
Yeah.
It's especially scary to him.
Yeah.
You know, like you're looking across the street and seeing a killer kill.
Right.
You're like, oh, shit. You know, but back up the list of Terminator. Do you consider Terminator a horror movie?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
You put a hockey mask and take away the gun and give him a machete, that's Jason Voorhees right there. He's just an unstoppable killing, literally, machine. And no emotion, doesn't care.
Right.
He uses technology instead of supernatural or whatever it is that revives Jason.
But he's the great white shark on land, just like with Michael Myers and mm-hmm. Jason Voorhees.
Which takes us to Jaws.
Like that segue?
Serious big blockbuster movie.
Very much horror, in my opinion.
I would agree. I don't. You know, there's nothing supernatural about it, but
it's a creature that kills.
You ask anybody who's ever gotten bit by a shark if they weren't scared. You know, right. Like, or seen somebody attacked by a shark. That speech where he describes the Indianapolis and, you know, waiting to get picked up, and, you know, it's like, it's more thrilling, it'll just like give you more heebie-jeebies than just about damn near anything else.
Yeah.
Jaws, pure horror. Jaws 3, not so much.
Right.
But, you know, it's riding on the coattails of a horror classic. But, you know, that's like, Talking again, you know, we can bounce movies all night, but, you know, one of the elements of a horror movie is, you know, you got your suspense, your thriller, your creatures, your supernaturals, and then your horror comedies. But to say that, for example, Cujo's a creature movie, straight up horror.
Yeah.
There's nothing not scary about that entire movie. It's pure dread. It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre with a dog.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to. But does that make every movie that has a dog in it a horror movie?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's how the dog is used.
There's certain elements that are in a movie.
Like Air Bud, not a horror movie.
Right.
Milo and Otis, not so much. So let's see, where's another one that could be. You mentioned Seven.
Yes.
Seven is a horror movie from a different perspective.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I mean,
it has all the elements.
It's everything you need, and it's gross.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. There's nothing inferred.
There's kills in it. Yeah.
You get to see everything. You get to see the aftermaths anyway. So.
It's sadistic. It's not your average thriller, for sure.
I remember when we saw Seven, I don't even know that we knew what it was about. Me and Chris went and saw it, sat down in the theater, got a popcorn, sat there and watched that movie.
It's a good movie.
Beginning to end. We got up, we left the theater, walked outside, lit up a cigarette, got in his car. We were like halfway home, and I think one of us was just like, damn. Yeah. And then Lemonheads. You remember the band Lemonheads?
Yeah.
They had a song called Here Comes Gwyneth's Head in a Box. Spoiler alert. Gwyneth's head goes in a box.
Brad Pitt is just such a phenomenal actor, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This one guy that has my total respect.
He can nail it when he tries. He can phone it in, too, and he's not trying. Yeah. It's pretty funny. You can tell when he's just there for the paycheck. He just has that, like, that weird eye and the, just kind of like that half grin.
12 Monkeys. Speaking of Brad Pitt.
See, that's one of those I might be on the fence about. That's a Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly horrific elements
right.
in 12 Monkeys. Post-apocalyptic
world.
Trying to stop the...
The plague. The killing half of the humanity.
But it's not really... I don't know. It could... I could probably put it under there. I probably would, if I was filing things, I'd probably put it under drama.
Yeah. But I'd probably put it under thriller because, you know, they're trying to figure out who it is that's going to spread the plague and everything. They're wrong.
But see, remember though, and this is what's kind of trippy about, like, even Barnes & Noble, I don't know why they do it now, but it used to be like when you went to a video store, you had pretty defined. So, you know, you had new releases, and then you had, like...
Your genres.
Action, like action-adventure, and then you had comedy, and then romance, and then...
Sci-fi, horror.
Sci-fi, and then horror.
Right.
And then sometimes sci-fi and horror was mixed up.
Right.
Everything else that didn't fit into those categories was just under drama. You know what I mean? It's like... It's so, like, same thing. You go to Barnes & Noble, or not Barnes, or Half Price Books anyway.
It's sci-fi horror.
They've got sci-fi and horror is kind of in the same, you know, they're facing each other. But it's like general fiction, and then specific, like romance, sci-fi, horror. And those are the only real delineations. You know, you might have a really scary book that's in the drama because it just didn't get billed correctly.
Right.
You know, like Chuck Palahniuk's work, the guy who wrote Fight Club. Fight Club in and of itself isn't scary, but some of the stuff that he's written is downright horrific. I mean, it's... He's got this one story called Guts about this guy who gets... He gets sexual pleasure from swimming down to the pool drain where it's like a filter where it pulls the water down, and he sits on it to, like, give himself basically a rim job, but then the vacuum sucks his... Guts out.
Yeah, it happens in Final Destination also.
And yeah, that's a Chuck Palahniuk thing. It's mm-hmm. just like, and if y'all didn't see that, my face just fell. I don't want to read this anymore. So let's go to some supernatural, quote unquote, thrillers. You got The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Straight horror.
Yep.
Poltergeist.
Horror.
Straight horror. And all of its sequels too.
Yeah.
That one never fell into the being funny. That one just kind of
got worse.
Yeah.
Once they introduced the creepy old man in part two, that's when it really, really took a step up.
Uh huh. Because yeah, it wasn't. It Poltergeist was like, oh, okay, we got away from the bad things. Oh no, you didn't. And not only didn't you, you can't.
Chief Woodenhead.
That's it.
Well, when you look at a movie like Creepshow, this is Creepshow 2, of course, it's very, very obvious that, you know, the blob in the lake, that's horror for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the final one with the, thanks for the ride, lady, I laugh my ass off every time I watch that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but it's horror.
Yeah.
You know?
Call that one horror comedy, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Which we'll get to. Hellraiser. Ain't nothing.
Yeah, that's straight horror.
That's straight horror.
And all the sequels. Straight horror.
Ghost? That's a romantic.
That's not horror.
Romantic drama.
It's a thriller.
Sixth Sense.
I don't consider that horror.
I really don't either. I mean, it's a ghost story.
Yeah, but it's not horror.
No, it's a drama. And it's, I guess it's suspenseful. But, yeah, I never did consider that horror. No. Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
That's straight up
horror. That scared the shit out of you. Well, when I saw that movie in the theaters, it was amazing to me how the entire theater would jump together in the jump scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Every jump scene got everybody in that theater. Nobody expected that movie to be what it was.
Yeah, that was good. Same with Blair Witch. Blair Witch is hard to watch. It doesn't really
hold up. I never got into Blair Witch too much.
I watched, when I saw the Blair Witch, at the like when it first came out, we saw it in the theater, and it was good. Like, it is a good story. It's a well-made movie. Now, because of the found footage element, it is hard to watch because of the shaky camera.
It was so shaky, and, yeah.
You know, it kind of makes you dizzy and stuff, which is now what everybody does with the cameras.
But most found footage movies now, they somehow
tone it down a little bit.
They tone it down with the shakiness.
But
it's like Paranormal Activity. Those are found footage movies, but they had security cameras. Or they had tripods. Cam. Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost Story, Field of Dreams.
No.
Not horror. But just about everything we've mentioned can easily go under that horror umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Sixth Sense, it's debatable.
Yep.
You know, Alien, Piranha, horror.
Oh, yeah.
The Birds.
Horror.
Certainly horror. Yep. Lost Boys.
Yeah, horror. All the way through and through.
The Crow.
Horror.
Do you think The Crow is horror?
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's bleak and it's dark and it's violent. But all the people except for her, and I guess to an extent him, it's more. I don't know if I'd necessarily rank it as horror.
I would.
I might rank it as a drama because you want those people to die. You feel good about it when they do.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting jump scared. You're not getting scared. It's scary.
I spit on your grave.
Same thing.
Would you consider that horror?
Absolutely.
Well, then it's the same type of movie. It's a revenge movie. So.
True that. Constantine.
Horror. It came from a horror comic book. It's not the scariest movie. Special effects are amazing. It's a lot of supernatural elements, but I would definitely consider that horror. We're about to see boobs.
And Event Horizon. These are in the supernatural thriller section of the internet. I think...
I guess it's that horror.
It's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
But, okay, I got another one for you that would fall into the same type of thing, so we can debate this one, is The Abyss.
That is...
I would consider that one a thriller. I wouldn't consider it horror. Michael Biehn is so good in that movie, dude.
I don't know, like, The Abyss... Abyss is a little hard, because it does kind of fall more under the sci-fi.
Aliens are good.
The aliens are good, the people are bad.
Yeah. So that's why I don't really consider it horror.
And the thing that you're... The main antagonist in that movie is the pressure. You know what I mean? Yep. It's like your shit's falling apart, and if it doesn't get fixed, you're going to get smushed.
Yeah.
You know, you're running out of time, you're running out of air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thriller, but at the same time, like, there's no... Other than the crazy people, it's... Yeah, that's going to be a suspense thriller sort of thing.
Falling into the same category.
But Event Horizon is straight up demons.
Yeah.
I mean, that ship went to hell.
Those are evil entities.
That thing went to hell. They show a vivisection. They rip their eyes out.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a voyage of nightmares. And it's just like, God, I remember when I first saw Event Horizon. It's not as scary in rewatching, but
It shocked me when I watched it. I wasn't expecting it to be that.
I had no idea.
It was going to be like Star Trek.
It scared the bejesus out of me. I remember back in when, you know, for all you youngins, back on the cable channels, they used to have these, like, little promos for movies coming out, and they'd show, like, behind the scenes how they made the warp drive, and it was very, the way it was built was very sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that you ever saw that was even vaguely scary was whenever the guy that kept having the dreams of the fire?
Mm-hmm.
But you thought that was, like, him, like, the way the promos looked, it looked like a fire had broken out on the ship and somebody was trying to put out the fire. It didn't look like this dude was, like, watching his family burn.
Yeah.
You know? And, that movie shocked the hell out of me when I first saw it. And I've watched it since, and it holds up. Knowing what's coming makes it a little less scary, you know? But
right. Still a good movie.
Oh, it's
excellent. Sam Neill's awesome.
Both of them are incredible.
And no Cowboy Curtis.
Oh, Larry Fishburne. Shout out to Lur. Okay, now let's get to the comedy section.
Yeah. Dark humor.
Okay, where would you put Club Dread?
It's horror. They got some great kills in that movie. It's funny as hell. I love that movie. You know I like it.
Oh, no.
You know I love it.
I'm just thinking of, like, Saturday night comedy movies. Like, you're going to go rent Three Amigos. You're going to sit there and watch it with your family. Like, funny movies. Maybe even, like, an Addams Family. That's like, you know, Addams Family, it's got its dark elements. I don't know that I'd necessarily consider it horror, but I'd throw it in the horror section because it's got that. But there's nothing in it that's like, my kids watch it and they're cool with it. Club Dread, you're not going to watch that with,
no.
on a Saturday night popcorn movie with your kids.
No.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
I mean, Paxton's in it. You know, it's an awesome movie, but it's definitely horror.
Arachnophobia.
I would consider that horror.
I would absolutely. Arachnophobia
is very much a thriller, but
it's a creature film too.
It's a scary movie, dude.
Yeah. It's very scary, and they underbilled that one too, because I remember
I didn't think it was going to be as scary as it was.
That one was billed as a comedy, and I remember when it came out, people were like, oh my God, that's terrifying.
It was billed like it was going to be a PG-13 movie.
Well, because all of the trailers had John Goodman in his like too tight exterminator outfit and his big ass backpack,
his glasses and everything,
you know, running around smashing spiders and being like, we're gonna tear this whole thing down, and then like come to find out that poor guy. Man,
get out the water.
Oh man. Alright, Little Shop of Horrors. It's got horror in the name, so it kind of has to.
Yeah.
But,
and Audrey, I watched the original one the other day.
Audrey eats a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, and he's chopping them up with an axe to feed to them. Yeah, that would definitely be a horror movie.
And that whole dentist scene.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the black and white one, the original?
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I watched it the other day. It's a cool-ass movie.
Let that thing touch you, baby. Young Frankenstein. Comedy or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. It doesn't have nearly the horror elements. There's no scary in it. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, it's Mel Brooks. It's comedy. It's a send-up of the old Universal Monsters movies and stuff.
And they Frankenstein does a dance.
they make fun of some of the stuff that doesn't make sense, like the abnormal brain, and you know the Lurch guy, or not the Lurch, the Igor.
Renfield. Yeah, Igor. Renfield was Dracula. I'm sorry. My bad.
Ghostbusters.
Yes, I consider that horror.
librarian scene just kind of takes it, doesn't
Ernie
it?
Ernie Wrightson, dude. He helped with it. It's got to be R.
Well, I mean, there's all of these, you know, certain ones, some of them are not debatable at all. But Ghostbusters is one of those, like we talked in that early episode about the unnecessarily scary 80s.
Yep.
You're going to have a comedy movie full of Saturday Night Live guys who are busting ghosts in New York City.
Directed by Harold Ramis.
Full of, was it Harold Ramis or Ivan Reitman?
Reitman. Ramis produced it.
He wrote or produced it, yep. Yeah. You know, and it's just full of one-liners. It's a Bill Murray joint.
Right.
You know, and then they walk into that library and that, bah! And you're like, oh, this, but that was, you know, that was the way they did it back then.
Yeah, that was a horrible, yes. Now, the reboot was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's a painful-ass movie to watch.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Amy wanted to watch it one night. And, kept bitching the whole time and critiquing it. She's like, just watch the movie and enjoy it.
No.
No, I don't have to.
Gremlins.
Yeah. And it would have been more of a horror movie. They would have made it the rated R horror movie it should have been. But yeah, that's a horror movie.
I don't think you can really improve on Gremlins. I mean, they might do that
you can make it scarier. Sequel,
make it scarier. But
Touch it.
Let's see. Zombieland.
Oh, yeah. That's a horror movie.
Pure.
Most zombie movies, even when they're funny, they're going to fall into that category. And we could talk Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about Return of the Living Dead and how, of all of the zombie movies, that one has the bleakest... I mean, that's the worst of them all.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get
better.
There's
no hope.
it's the end of the world. Everybody's going to die. Tremors. Another shockingly scary one that was billed as a comedy.
Yep, that's a horror movie.
It's got its one-liners.
I actually watched the latest sequel the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Cold Day in Hell, yeah. Jamie Kennedy's getting old. I still love him. Still love him to death. But, man, he is... He's getting up there in years, man.
Dude, at Frightmare, it tripped me out. And this is not a knock on Matthew Lillard at all.
He is so cool.
He is cool as hell.
That's one guy I regret not being able to go meet.
His line was forever.
Yeah, I know.
Like, everybody was there to see him. That was awesome. And he was cool. He was talking
with people. Well, he came out in the crowd high-fiving everybody before the show and shit. He was cool as hell.
The homeboy's got gray in his beard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not right. But he's, like, my age. Like, when Scream came out, he and I are the same age.
Yep.
Like, he's, you know, like, little old, like, you know, late teens, early 20s, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got gray in his beard. I'm like, that's not right. Wait, I've got gray in my beard. Well. Okay, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's horror. It's funny as hell, too.
Yeah, it really does. It does both very well.
Yeah.
So well cast.
Oh yeah.
Poor dude just wants to fix up his fishing shack, and all these teenagers show up and start dying on it.
On that note, Bubba Hotel. Another one that's very funny. Storyline is just ridiculous. That's a horror movie.
True. I'll give you that one for sure. You know, it's funny. It's comedy, but
yep.
It's I'm going to save the most controversial one probably, but Beetlejuice.
People will argue with me nonstop saying that it's not a horror movie.
I think it's a straight up horror movie.
Me too. But people will say that is a family movie that's not a horror movie. I'm like, it's not. It's a horror movie.
It's, yeah, I mean.
Beetlejuice is scary as hell. You don't want him showing up at your house.
He's a demon. They're dead. She's trying to commit suicide. Her family's all kinds of screwed.
Yeah.
And it's the genius of Tim Burton and Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder and all of the actors to kind of keep it on the level to where it's still kind of lighthearted. But they're ripping their faces off in the closet. They're tearing up their to make those big old funky masks.
Yeah. The eyeballs and the fingers.
The caseworker lady is smoking out of the
they all commit suicide. Yeah.
I mean, there's, and we discussed that in one of prior episodes. Like, that one's pretty bleak too, because
they can't leave the house. They can't forever.
They're gonna get to watch the Dietzes die.
Yep.
And then what happens to the Dietzes? Where do they have to spend their eternity?
Right.
You know. It's just when you think about it, Beetlejuice is a lot scarier than I think people remember it.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was like 12. And I wouldn't say that I came home, like, I came out of it being, like, terrified, but I came out of it certainly thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the third part of a trilogy.
I know where you're going with this. One, and the thing about it is, consider one of the classic horror movies, one of the most loved horror movies ever made. Army of Darkness.
I thought you were going to say Weekend at Bernie's too.
The original zombie.
Army of Darkness.
Not scary at all. Great special effects. Gory. Lots of blood. Funny as hell. Some of the best one-liners. It's an hilarious movie, but it is one of the classic horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
No one would deny that that's a horror movie.
Yeah, well, true, and I never would have thought otherwise until started thinking about it. I'm like, well, if we're comparing apples to apples, Army of Darkness ain't no Evil Dead when it comes to scares.
Right.
You know, in Evil Dead, even the original one, for as hardcore horror as it is, there's some comedy in there. You know what I mean? It's like, There's some funny stuff. Stuff that the demons say, and there's kind of the way they do things, and Ash's reaction to them and stuff. But when you're talking like a part one, part two, part three, and you go from Evil Dead to Army of Darkness, you're like, obviously it's the same people, but it's not the same. They're not going for the same effect.
Yeah,
I guess is what I mean.
But it is a definite continuation of the story.
True. And it's...
But they just change the style.
It's straight up horror comedy. But, Ash vs. Evil Dead was scarier than Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
So...
And the thing about it is, you know, the reason I bring it up a lot is if somebody's going to tell me that Beetlejuice isn't a horror movie, what about Army of Darkness? That one's just straight funny also.
True.
But you would consider that a horror movie. So... And just so you know, the porn parody is also kind of scary.
Of Army of Darkness?
No, or? Of Evil Dead.
Of Evil Dead?
Yes.
Wow.
It was very well done. Because that list of zombie movies that I found, they actually had the porn parody of Evil Dead listed under a zombie movie.
So
I had to look it up.
You know who the Soska sisters are? They're a pair of twins that make and produce horror movies.
Okay.
And I follow them on Twitter, and you know, they apparently wrote the script for a porn parody of, I can't even think of what it is.
There's so many. They're funny.
It was Deadpool. I think it was Deadpool. So like mainstream horror directors, you know, or writers or whatever, working with a porn producer to make a porn parody of Deadpool, and they're like, oh, we're so proud of our work. And I'm like, how hard was that really to write? You know, like, burp, chicka, burp, chicka, burp, chicka, burp. I'm a dude in a Deadpool costume. I'm a chick in a Domino costume. Let's go.
Well, the Evil Dead one, they reenact every scene from that movie.
Oh, yeah?
It's crazy, man. Even the scene where the trees attack her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting parody, to say the least.
All right, let's go through a couple quick ones that we won't, you know, we don't need to dwell on long. But, let's see. You mentioned Clockwork Orange.
I consider that horror.
I kind of do too.
The book is in the horror section of Half Price Books.
Now let's get to some real shit right here.
The shit. Ooh, the shit.
Three of the scariest movies I've ever seen would never be in the horror section. But they're scarier than any of the movies we've talked about. They're going to be Full Metal Jacket, Red Dawn, and Platoon. And you can put Saving Private Ryan in there too. Because that's the real shit right there.
Yeah.
Scenes of pure horror.
About to see boobs.
Uh-oh. Boobs and melting face. That's Creepshow 2, bro. But yeah, nobody considers these movies horrific. I mean, they consider them horrific, but they wouldn't put them under the horror umbrella.
Right.
But I guess that's what kind of brings it back around, is because you can have stuff that isn't in the horror section that's scarier than anything in the horror section because it's the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, but Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn with Patrick Swayze, is that kept me up at night, man. I was scared shitless. I was more scared of Russians than I was of
Michael Myers.
Yeah,
and Fred.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it could happen. I mean, that was the real thing. That could actually happen. And
it's like one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I don't know if you remember a movie came out in the '90s called Kids.
Mm-hmm.
That mockumentary about the skateboarder punks. That movie scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just...
That was horrible.
Oh, yeah. It was a horrible, horrible movie. That is definitely not a horror movie, but that scared the shit out of me.
Uh-huh. But the opening scene of Full Metal Jacket, that like first 20 minutes mm-hmm. of Gunny running around screaming at these guys.
Right.
He's scarier than Jason or Freddy. He's scared because he's real.
Yep.
You know, you're sleeping in your bunk, and he's going to come in there with that trash can and just boom.
Right. And if you don't keep your shit in line, you're going to end up getting a bunch of guys beating you in the ribs with bars of soap.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And everything smells like sweat, and you're only doing this so you can go out in the jungle and get shot at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's definitely room to discuss, but man, you know, how do you define horror? I guess we have a pretty broad brush.
Yeah, it's a huge umbrella that covers a lot of different subgenres. And does a horror movie have to be scary? Nope.
Nope. It can be Army of Darkness. It's just hilarious and cool.
Right.
That's one of those things, like, that's the word I was looking for. Like, Army of Darkness, it's not scary. It is funny. And it's got its kills and its moments. But Army of Darkness is just straight up cool.
Like, yep.
That's just cool. But there's no cool section at the video store. Or there's no video store anymore anyway, so
yeah.
It's okay. You go to Netflix and you're like, oh, since you watched Last House on the Left, we're going to show you My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Dude, if Netflix wasn't free for me, I would not have Netflix.
They're so weird.
I much prefer Amazon.
They're so weird with what they suggest.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you watched The Diary of Anne Frank. you should watch American History X now. You're like, ew. Anyway, guys, I think that's going to close us down. Do you have any parting thoughts? Do we want to talk about the show a little bit?
Yeah, we can. Do a little plug.
All right. We are, as of recording date, I can't say as of published date, but you can hit me up and ask. We are still selling tables. We are pretty close to sold out. As of recording right now, we are about 3/4 sold for the big room. And I'm not exactly sure the number of tables we'll have in the hallways and the lobbies. I'll get a final count on those here soon.
But if it comes down to it, we can always expand.
Yeah, we can always expand. But yeah, we're going to sell out of our stuff first. But we have room for probably another 30 vendors.
Okay.
If we're being very liberal. Maybe not that much, but I've got enough room for about that many if I'm counting right. And if you say, wow, that's a lot of vendors you have space for, it is, and we'll have to make accommodations, but I can fit them. before we have to start breaking down walls and renting more space. So if you're interested, you know, prices are still the same. Now, here's the caveat. Here's the thing. And I'm going to have to publish this as well. Right now, if you rent space inside of the room, you have an option to bring your own table, your own dressing, your own backdrops, and everything else. If you want to rent a vendor space at Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show, you pay me $60. You can show up, you can pop open an umbrella, and you can spin for the whole 8 hours. And $60 in and out, and that's your game. If I sell out my main room and we're into the hallways and the lobbies, table rental from the hotel is mandatory because of their aesthetic requirements. And the rental goes from 60 to 85 overnight. So if you're sitting on your heels, if you're waiting, if you're thinking that if you're out in the hallway, you are going to get exposed to quite a bit more people. You're going to get all of that flow through, and the people who don't actually have to pay admission are going to see your tables and your booths.
Yeah.
So there is some benefit to being out there if that's what you choose.
There's a little bit more elbow room out there also.
But our rates are very, very reasonable. They're pretty inexpensive. And honestly, I haven't really been advertising because the vendors have been coming to me, and I'm, you know, but if you're interested and you haven't made a decision yet, I recommend that you make that relatively quickly because we're getting kind of close to the wire, not the wire, we're getting kind of close to capacity in the big room. So hit me up, go to Scary Dad's Haunted Forum or go to Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show on Facebook, and all of our terms and rates and dates and everything are there, and follow us on Twitter, like us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and once again, just do it.
September 29th is the date.
That'll be it. Anyway, I forgot to say it 2 episodes ago. Scott gave me a hard time, asked me if I was feeling all right. So that'll end episode 85, and y'all keep it scary.
Later.
Stupid in the street, and she can't socialize.